So in the last week, we did have the definition of the Itô integral for simple functions, and I want shortly to recall this because we continue today with this one, and this is the most important step somehow, and then we know what the Itô integral is, at least for simple functions, and the rest we do later. So maybe I should say in the previous lecture, we defined the Itô integral, and it was said if you have a so-called simple function, which is a function which can be written in this form, and I should add the important parts here. So these are random variables, and they should be f t I minus 1 measurable. And we assume that these guys are bounded, so they depend on omega. And I take the supremum over omega and the i's. Yeah, so maybe I should take the I minus 1 away. I take the supremum over all omega and I, and then it should be still finite. So this is a proper supremum because now our probability space, I want to remind you, is not anymore finite, because if it would be finite, then there would not exist a Brownian motion on this probability space. So you need a large enough probability space, a huge probability space, such that you have these independent random variables on the space. Okay, so if you have this situation, then what do we do? We replace the indicator function just by the difference of the Brownian motion, and since we want to have it for all time points, not only on the interval time points, so we have to work with the last. So if t is between tk and tk plus 1, then we cannot have the whole interval. We only use from bt minus btk. So the last term is a bit different because we stop as soon as we have t. Okay, so that was the definition of the Itô integral for simple functions. And then I need to find my mouse. And then we started to talk about properties, and actually the Itô integral was then denoted by the integral from 0 to t ls dbs. So we are talking about now properties of this object. And the first one is the famous Itô isometry, which usually helps a lot. So it means that if you take the second moment of this stochastic integral, then you get a funny change because this 2 is moving to the integrand, and outside you have just ds. Okay, so we proved this relation, so it's not anymore miraculous, so we can really see why it's true. What we have not proved yet is that this Itô integral as a function in time is a square integrable continuous martingale. And from this one actually follows another thing, namely we just consider the second moment. What is about the expectation? So the expectation is 0. Why is it 0? So as a remark, because if we would prove that it is a continuous martingale, then this martingale obviously starts in 0. If t is 0, then we don't have any integral. So by the definition, one can see that it should be 0 by this definition. So if we put t equals to 0, then we would have nothing here. Okay. So I'm just making this remark because sometimes I notice that this is not so obvious. So how do we? I write I zero because with the integral I have problems to say. So since I zero of L is zero, we have after showing that ID of L is martingale, that, and I'm using alternately the notation, so actually I can write expectation of IT, but later on we will always use this notation. So this is equal to I zero, and that's why it's equal to zero. Let's write it like that. Okay. So the expectation of the E2 integral, like we get to know it here, is zero. Okay, let's start with the proof. So we have to show, as I said, that we have to show the square integrability, the continuity, and the martingale property. So let's start with this one, because this is easy, since we have something like that already. So we take the expectation of, okay, so in the proof, in the notation we had done this. So E to isometry, we can also work with little t here. So this holds for also for little t. So we have, how can you get this if you just show it for capital T? You just assume that you have an L which is zero after little t. And then it's clear that this is the integral from zero to little t and here as well, right? So we don't need to work all the proof again for little t. We just can assume that the integrand is zero after little t. So we have this squared, and I said I first square and then I take the expectation. And this is equal to the expectation of LS, do I still have the expectation here? Yes, last time I forgot it to write. And this we have already calculated in detail. So what did we get? This is the expectation of the xi I minus 1 squared. And the sum I goes from 1 to n. And then I have ti minus ti minus 1. Okay, now if I want to do it for any t, I would need to put here the minimum. This is the different way of writing. Minimum t. And now we know that the xi I, by assumption, they are bounded. So the xi I, the modulus of xi I is always, yes, and I forgot to say, sorry, we wanted to have here a c. So this should be bounded by a c, okay? So that's why I can estimate this here by c squared. And this is just the difference up to the minimum t, this is maximal, this is the difference of ti minus 1. And this was the consecutive time points. Did we say so? We didn't say here anything, right? Maybe we should add this. So we have 0 is equal to t0, then comes t1, and so on. So they don't need to be equidistant. So this is tn minus 1. I guess we go until n. Here we can see that. And capital T is tn. So if I take the time differences and sum them up, what do I get? I get the whole interval back. I don't get the whole because of the minimum. I get the interval from 0 to little t. Okay, so I can estimate this whole expression just by taking c squared times little t. And this is definitely finite. That's what we wanted to show. Okay. What was the next task? The next task was that this is continuous for all omega. So how to see that? We just look at the representation. So the representation is given here. And since we want to move t, it's more clever to put the minimum t here. Okay, so we had a second, which was actually related to this part here. So we had a second representation. So we have with the minimum so that we don't need to take care in which interval we are in the moment. So this is xi minus 1, bti minimum t minus bti minus 1 minimum t. And if I think this depends on omega, then I have to check where my omega is. This is here, and this is there, and this is there. And I'm summing up from 1 to n. So I have a finite sum. And now the question is, we take a sequence. So if we have a sequence like tn, which goes to t, if n goes to infinity, then the question is, does does this go to t ls d bs of omega? And I think I don't need to say a lot about this. We just need to stare for a while at this expression on the right-hand side. So if I put the tn, then the tn would be here, right? So we would replace the t with the tn. And then we have to think that the Brownian motion has continuous paths. So that means for each omega, this is a continuous function in time. So if the tn is converging to t, then this Brownian motion converges, so this function converges to ti minimum t, also this one. And then we have a linear combination, so this is also a continuous building, so it's clear actually that this holds true for this representation here. So we don't need to show anything. So the question is, and the answer is, this is obvious. Because we have continuous paths of the Brownian motion. And this minimum function is also a continuous function. So we have a kind of a composition of continuous functions. So also that is continuous for any r a. Okay, and linear combinations, I probably shouldn't mention. This means we have continuity for this our building. And what else do we need to show? We still need to show that we have a martingale. Okay, three things, as you know, measurability, integrability, and martingale property. So let's start with the measurability. So if T is in, where is it? In TK minus one, TK. Then we had this representation, which was in the definition. So we sum up EI from one to K minus one. Of xi I minus 1, bti minus bti minus 1, plus ck minus 1, bt minus btk. That was the representation. And now we need to check, is this ft measurable? Right. So what was the measurability? This was FTI minus one measurable, and TI minus one obviously is now less than, okay, let's put a timeline. So this is TK minus one. And this is TK, and there's T, and these ones, they go until TK minus ones, the TIs. So they are somewhere here. Okay, could be equal to TK minus one. So let's put this one here. Okay, so that means that this is contained in FT, so that's okay. And BTI as well, because TI, as I said, is maximal TK minus one. So also this is in FT. And then this, of course, is in FT. So we use the properties of the Brownian motion, that the Brownian motion is adapted. So I didn't repeat the definition of the Brownian motion. So if you are not aware of this feature, you should check out the definition again. Okay, this is okay as well. This is FTK minus one measurable. And BT is FT measurable. And BTK. There's some mistake. This should be a K minus one in this. I forgot here the K minus one. Otherwise, we would be in trouble now. But we really take the lower point and go until the K. So I was just writing this not correctly. So this is in FTK minus one. Okay, so everything is okay. So all components are FT measurable, and then we take differences and multiply and so on. So that's okay. So what about integrability? For integrability, we are actually done. I'm not sure if you're aware of that. So we need to show that this is finite. Now, this is not so easy if you do it directly, but we can do it the easy way. We use Cauchy-Schwarz or Hölder. What is Hölder or Cauchy-Schwarz? So Hölder inequality for P equals Q equals 2. That would mean that I have the expectation of two random, the product of two random variables. I can estimate by f squared, expectation of f squared to the 1/2 times the expectation of g squared to the 1/2. This would be, otherwise you put this two would be p and this would be q here, these two twos. I guess you know Hölder's inequality. I just wanted to remind you. And how can we use that? We put g, so this will be our f. And since we don't have a product, then we choose one as g. And then we take the expectation of this product. And then if you have one here, you just get one there, obviously. The expectation of one is one. And otherwise we get, this is the square root of this one squared. And since we have already shown that this is finite, just in the first step, right? The expectation, so here I wrote it in a different form. And we have shown that this is bounded by this. So we get that if we take the square root, this is bounded by c square root of t. This is from above, or shown above. Okay, so if you have square integrability, probably many of you know that's generally true. If you have expectation, I mean probability measures, if you have square integrability, you have integrability as well. And this is a consequence, for example, of Hölder's inequality. Okay, so the main part, what we need to show is, so let me recall, this is measurability. This is integrability. And we still need to show the martingale property. Okay. So we choose our two time points. S is less than t, and we assume, because I'm lazy, that both points S and t are in the same interval. If this is a different situation, then you can think about yourself. So usually it's a bit annoying to think about these intervals and stuff, but inside one interval, it's easy. But the rest is possible to show as well. It just needs a little bit of thinking. Okay. So we do this, we want to show the martingale property, so we do this. And then we use the representation. Yes, the representation which was here. So I'm just using this and put everywhere the conditional expectation, because we have just a finite sum, so we use linearity immediately of the conditional expectation. And we have this final term, C K minus one, I hope, BT minus BT K minus one, and conditional expectation of that. Yeah, and we take into consideration that the S is larger than TK minus 1. And if you look at these, then you can see that everything, we check this on top, I'm not repeating that again, that everything is TK minus 1 measurable. So this is what we considered on top, and you can check. Actually, we had this is F TK minus 1 measurable. So that means that the rule is if it's already measurable, then the conditional expectation is not able to change anything, so it's kept. And what to do with this object? So here we know that this is, it's better to take another color. This is FTK minus 1 measurable. That means that it is FS measurable because TK minus 1 is less or equal to S. So that means that it is measurable. And we use take out what is known. Okay, so this comes from and how to deal with this. So one could do the following. We could, yeah, we know that the what do we know? We know, okay, we don't know a lot about the Brownian motion yet. We only know that BT minus BS would be independent from that one, right? So Brownian motion, what do we know? We know that it is adapted. So BS is FS measurable and BT minus BS is independent from FS. So this was the definition, part of the definition. And we know that, okay, so now you split this into BT. So of course, here this is for T. It's greater than S, greater than 0, greater or equal to. So we split this into these two differences, and then you can see that this difference here is measurable because TK minus 1 is FTK minus 1 measurable, BTK minus 1 is FTK minus 1 measurable, and because of this situation, we have it's FS measurable. So this is FS measurable. So if you would use linearity and compute the conditional expectation of this, it's unchanged. And what about that? This is independent by this rule here. So we have here, this is independent. Maybe I use another color. It's getting crowded. So that means the conditional expectation is equal to the expectation. And the expectation of such a difference is zero because we know this is the Brownian motion and it has the distribution of of Gaussian with zero and variance is t minus s. Okay, so maybe we write this here. So we have, this was another definition part of the Brownian motion. So this is related to n0 t minus s, or is distributed like that, I should say. So that's why the expectation of this is zero, right? So we get all together, unfortunately, I have to write this long expression again. And what is left here is this, yeah, not plus, but minus. Did I write plus somewhere else? No, that was the minus. So by taking out, it's not changing into a plus usually. Okay, minus. And what was the outcome of this? I said this one is measurable, so it's kept. And this one we put to zero because the expectation is zero and it's independent. So we have bs minus b tk minus 1. And that's actually what we want to have, because this is exactly the representation of the integral of 0 to s ls dbs. That's too much s. Now I have to maybe take r. Or we could write es of l. As I said, I'm using these two objects as synonyms, so you can choose your favorite one. Okay, so that's what we wanted to show. So this is the martingale property. Now we are done. And was there anything else? Yes, we had this linearity of the Itô integral. So this is actually something which one never really likes to do because it's so trivial. The only thing, if you get it as homework, you will stuck at a certain place, because if you don't do the following trick, if you have two integrands, L and K, then they might have a different representation here. So they might be constant on different intervals. So what is the trick? You take all time points, the time points from L and the time points from K, and write artificially your representation using all the time points. So in some, so you might have then some intervals where the xi is not changing. So you get more xi's, but you can write it up in that way. Maybe it's intuitively clear. And if you have them on the same time points, then you can easily see that you have this linearity. And I mean, you can choose your representation as you like it best. So there's not a unique way to represent it. The only obligation is to have these constant, having the right measurability and the intervals here. So you can check if you make more time points, then you still keep the right measurability anyway. So I'm not doing this. This would take us a lot of time to write this down. And by imagination, it's possible to believe. So this is clear, more or less. Okay, so then we have proved the proposition. And can continue. So we have, in the moment, we are able to compute Itô's integral for simple functions. And that's not sufficient. We want to have it much more general. In the moment, the question would be, can I do some kind of weird thing and put the Brownian motion inside? So what about, So clearly the Brownian motion is not a function which you is it does not have paths which you can write up as constant on certain intervals because it's moving all the time. So that would not work. In the moment we cannot write down, or we cannot say that is defined, but we can make a definition. And this is very short because we teach this in stochastic analysis. And I cannot repeat this because this would be a longer session to prove this, but I want to point out the problem and the solution without proof. So, Itô's integral for general integrants. So, what I said, this guy is definitely not in L0. So, we just make a definition. And then I'm telling the solution. So we define, instead of L0, we define a space which is called L2. So let L2 be the space of processes L, Lt, t in 0t. Such that, what do we want from this L? So we have the map omega t is mapped to L omega t or t omega, whatever, usually. I think they write T omega. Maybe I'm following this. And I'm not talking a lot about that. So this is technical stuff which should be satisfied, and it will be in our cases. So we need a certain measurability, which is called joint measurability. So we take the sigma algebra, which is generated by cross products from the Borel sigma algebra, and that one. If you don't know what is this means, no problem. You won't need it. It's just for completeness. I want to mention it here. And Lt should be adapted. Given to our filtration, which we introduced at the beginning. So what was that again? That was that Lt is Ft measurable for t. What else do we need? We need that. If I take Lt squared and integrate with respect to t and take the expectation, it should be finite. Okay, so what about the Brownian motion? So it turns out that the Brownian motion actually is in L2. So this will be our space where we can integrate. So we're happy about that, that B is in L2. Why is it in L2? Number one, I'm not explaining. One can show that by using the continuity of the Brownian paths that it has this measurability. One can be shown, but we don't do that. So we will always, in this course, just drop the measurability. You have to trust me, it's okay. So two is clear. BT is FT measurable by definition. So nothing to show about that one. What about the last part? So this looks frightening. I have to take BT squared and then integrate and then take the expectation. So I would need to compute this, but I don't know how to do that. And we can help use with the help of Fubini, we can do it very easily. So Fubini allows us to interchange the integration with respect to the probability measure and the DT because the integrant is, I mean, there are two reasons. So the Fubini, which we use, usually permits if you have non-negative. It actually has another name, it's called Tonelli. But anyway, so it's also integrable. So then we can interchange. So what I want to say is by Fubini or by Tonelli, we can interchange the integration and then life is easy because by definition, this is T, right? So we know that the Brownian motion has this property that it's distributed to zero, normal distribution zero T. So this is T. So this is the explanation of the explanation. Okay, this is T. Yeah, and then we can compute that. Okay, I let you do this. So this is definitely finite. That's T 1/2 capital T squared, right? Okay, should we do that? Maybe we should. Okay, so we have seen this will be our new space of integrants, and you can in the future for the exercises you can just use it if you check that your L is in that space. You know, don't need to check number one, as I said. This is you will never get something which is not where number one is not satisfied, and you check the rest, and then you can apply. Okay, so it's time to stop here. So we will define the E2 integral for functions in L2 after the break.